unbelievable tonight, Tawny. Unbelievable. Like you say, Tawny. Like you say, you know how Tawny, you know how you say, that's unbelievable now.
Do an imitation of me, Raj. Go ahead.
That's unbelievable.
It's so gross. It's so bizarre. It's beautiful.
That's really great win. I was wanting to ask you about Kentucky, and I know they lost. How has it been, Keith, since Tennessee has beaten Kentucky? Keith, how has it been since we beat Kentucky last time?
Wasn't it the Conzo year when we beat them by about 1,000?
Yes.
Noel tore his knee up.
That was terrible, right? Did he get hurt in that game?
No, I think he got hurt the game before, I think.
Okay. And then we
was right around. Yeah, and then they
rolled in here on fumes,
and we
pummeled. That was one of the funniest.
Wow.
I had some mouth breathers in my section.
Oh, they got out of there like...
It looked like somebody sprayed a can of Raid that only affected mouth breathers.
Yeah, they hit the road real quick. A lot of them were probably back to the Tennessee-Kentucky line by the time that game ended.
Hey, Raj.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Raj.
Yeah.
You know there's you know it's a great night, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful night, Tony.
It's incredible, right?
Wonderful. Oh, yeah, that's great.
And you know, there are some Volcats in our midst, and it was a really tough game. It was a tough, tough game for the Volcats. Raj, can I ask you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know any Volcats? Anybody who loves the Kentucky basketball team, but say, I don't know, just for like a cheap pop, they cheer for our football team because their football team doesn't compete in the SEC. I mean, they filled the team, but they don't compete. Do you know, Raj, any Volcats? Anybody meet that description you can think of?
Yeah.
Anybody come to mind?
Yeah.
Who comes to mind?
Tony, you know who comes to mind. Keith, listen to him.
Raj, this is what it was like, Raj, in his heart tonight, his sporting heart. Raj, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Bust some doc for me. And I got some more phone calls in here. Bust some doc.
How about some balls tonight? How's that?
You're so much the man, Raj. Raj, if I didn't care for you so much, I'd give you a ride down the Smoky Mountain Brewery tomorrow if I didn't think it would kill you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if I'm going to make it there.
Oh, yeah. How you feeling now? I'm feeling good. Older than that. How you feeling?
Did you see Kentucky's offensive execution, Raj, in the second half?
Yeah.
That was me. That's the way I'm feeling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm looking at myself on Periscope and hoping my color's out of tune because I look purple and blue right now. Keith, is that a good sign when your face is purple and blue?
Oh.
Usually when I think purple and blue face, it involves either Bob Knight or Bob Huggins screaming at somebody.
And by the way, my nose, Raj, looks even bigger than usual.
Oh, wow. Really?
Any thoughts on that, Raj? That my nose looks bigger than usual?
I'm not really sure about it, Tommy. Keith, we said about Kentucky. I forgot. I didn't hear the whole. How has it been since we Kentucky? Keith, I forgot. I didn't hear exactly.
It would have been the year Nerlens Noel got hurt and Kentucky played in the NIT, and Tennessee rolled them pretty good that year.
What year was that?
That was Conzo's second year, wasn't it, Tony?
Okay.
Second year. It was back in the day, man.
Okay. All right, Tony. That's all I have.
Okay.
I know you get people calling
this.
So let's go.
Hey, Raj. Raj, let me hear Go Vols from you. Go Vols.
Go Vols.
Raj, I love you.
All Okay.
I think Beano may win the prize tonight, Tony. There's great irony because he probably came up with the best comeback against a really good team Tennessee's ever had.
And which was?
Coming from, I think, right around 20 down to beat Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine here.
That is right. In fact, might be my favorite game I've ever seen in Thompson Bowling Arena for star power, for a game that went to the end, for having star players do star things at star times. That was insane.
I watched that game in the media room at the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas.
Oh, gosh, did you miss something? The atmosphere in Thompson Bowling Arena that day was wow. Kevin Durant live on a college basketball floor was wow. Wow. And let me tell you something. That kid from LSU is a damn great basketball player.
Oh, yeah. Anybody.
I mean, sometimes you don't live up to it. That guy, anytime you turn Simmons on and you watch him, wow.
Yeah, and they're in here on a Saturday afternoon. I'm sorry. If you remotely appreciate basketball, buy a ticket.
Jeez. When he comes to town, if there is an open seat, there won't be. We appreciate college basketball here too much. There will be a gigantic crowd for that game. Gigantic.
Especially if we win a couple more games.
No question. No question. This team needs to do its part now so we can have ourselves a good celebration day there. Because no matter what happens there, it's fun to see. It's fun to see stars. That's why
I think they've got three guys. Like I said on the TV show, In the Paint on Foxville 43 at 6:30 on Tuesday. Hey, I think they've got three guys that are going to be fantastic pros. I think Quarterman and Blakeney will be too.
Yeah, it just goes to show you what a clown show head coach that guy really is.
And he's got one of the great defensive minds in the history of NBA.
He won't listen to anybody.
We didn't listen to Eric Musselman last year.
No, he won't listen to anybody.
Hey, one thing you know about dumb people, they don't know what they don't know.
Correct. And I've been dumb all my life. And by the way, we're going to go back to our phones. I do want to remind you, it's your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. And we break tomorrow on the app and also on Periscope. We'll be live with you for National Signing Day. You'll be on this app channel and this Periscope channel from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I promise you that. Sean Sinclair will be with me. We'll have tons and tons of signees tomorrow, breaking news, guests from all around the college recruiting world at Smoky Mountain Brewery where we're going to be. We're going to have us a great time, and I'm really looking forward to that. In the meantime, let's get our... I guess what'll be our final phone call in here is I'm doing this with like a 100-degree fever, and we're going on a couple of hours, and that's a pretty good effort for me, I'd have to say, in the state I'm in. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Yes, hello and welcome to our final call. Well, that's going to do it. Keith, give me a final thought here on the way out. It's been a lot of fun, brother.
Well, there's never a time that beating Kentucky in basketball is a lot like beating Alabama in football. No matter how good or bad they are compared to their normal standard of excellence, you don't throw it back. So certainly, I mean, after what went on in the two games last week, I can't imagine a team that needed the jolt they got tonight more than Tennessee did.
That is like manna from heaven tonight, man.
Hey, kudos to the students. I shred the students all the time for not showing up.
You're right.
And granted, it's easy to show up for Kentucky, but man, they did in droves, and the whole entire crowd was fantastic tonight. And kudos to people for not going all Vichy Vols and letting that place be half full of blue shirts tonight too.
I'm really proud of our fans, no question. What a great fan base.
Oh, after last week, it would have been really easy for somebody holding. I mean, lower level tickets for this game are $50 face value. I mean, come on. We're paying insane freight as a fan base here in both major revenue sports. After what they put out there last week, it'd have been easy to look at somebody, like I said, with a hot dog net,
$7,500. You're right.
And a cellulite ridden wife in terrible blue spandex, Real Housewives of Corbin, and just say the heck with it. And not many people did that tonight.
You really have heat, don't you?
Hey, man, you grow up on the border with those people. Oh, they're the worst fan base. they're the worst fan base in sports. I mean, everybody knows about how they travel. I don't give a damn. So do soccer hooligans. Those idiots that root for Chelsea travel. Those idiots that root for Liverpool travel.
They're knowledgeable, though. They love their sport. And they love the sport. They love the sport.
I guarantee they couldn't. Most of those people, A, can't tell you if the ball is inflated or stuffed, or B, name three players in the country outside of the guys on Kentucky's team.
You think they're that myopic?
Oh, absolutely. Kansas fans are better. As much as it pains me to say Carolina fans are better, Louisville fans are better, Indiana fans are better. Kentucky fans are essentially Alabama fans minus about 50 IQ points.
Keith, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, that was fun. Tomorrow we're going to be live with you from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., and that'll be fun. And let me say a word here about my friend Marcos Garza and your Garza Law Firm. Thank you, Marcos. Marcos and my friends at Smartway make it possible for me to do what I do. Any of the sponsors that we have make it very, very, very possible. Otherwise, I can't do this, and I can't exist on my own and do some of the neat things that we do and some of the different things that we do. And so, before you say guilty, no matter what you're being charged with, say Garza. And if you need a family attorney, he's great as well. And Marcos Garza, personal attorney, business attorney, whatever you're looking for, go online to tncriminallaw.com. And whether it's DUI defense or sex crimes, theft crimes, criminal defense, personal injury, underage drunk driving, drug crimes, domestic violence, internet crimes, white-collar crimes, misdemeanor crimes, you name it, and they've got it. Marcos Garza is going to take great care of you. As for recruiting tomorrow, so people are asking me about that. Let's just say that if what I'm hearing, how do I phrase this? Because I don't want to give people away. Why did I even go there? I don't know. That's why we don't do this when we're sick. Because you know when you're sick, you don't think straight. It's like you can't process things. From what I'm hearing, it's going to be a really, really good day for Tennessee tomorrow. Now, I do think that Brown, it's Kirby Smart is, shall we say, showing his old mates at Auburn. He's showing them a thing or two. That one there is going to get. That one there is going to make Hugh Freeze blush before it's over. And by the way, that's one of the things I really love about Southern college football is that somebody cares that much for that kind of money to exchange hands. It's fun. That's why it's fun to do. It's fun to be around it. It's fun to be around it. That doesn't always happen, but it can happen. It has happened, and it will happen, and it may just happen tomorrow. That said, if what I'm hearing is correct, that aside, I should say, because I don't think it's related to us, because we're clean. That said, I want to believe that we're going to have a really, 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 really good day tomorrow. It's going to be really fun. And the thing I talk about this in my blog tomorrow, the thing I like about that signing day deal, and ordinarily, my doctor's kind of told me, I'm not catching or anything, because I would never go if I could make other people sick.
I just have all the stuff in my lungs, and I'm just kind of feverish and all that, and just trying to stay out of the hospital. But the fellowship and the fun of being a part of that tomorrow, you gotta understand, it's what makes being in this business worthwhile. And people that do what I do who would rather sit in a studio tomorrow, why? Why? It is such a great day to be among the people. Yeah, somebody said on Twitter, I've had this for a while, the thing about this thing I've had is I had it, and then it went away, and it lingered, and I went to the gym and worked out for like 90 minutes Saturday. And then I went and played music Saturday night, and I was feeling, oh boy, this is coming back. And then Saturday night, I was just like, when I got home, I mean, I was literally like coughing in a fetal position, laying on the floor, coughing so loud. I kept everybody up. And so that's my story. Appreciate you. Hope you have a great night. Go Vols. That was fun tonight. And I guess TR's call wasn't fun, but the rest of it was fun. Here's a new book. Here's a new author I just had.
With us today on Book Corner. What a special
new author. Here you go.
Book, Dreams to Remember, Otis Redding, Stax Records, and the Transformation of Southern Soul. The great Mark Grabowski is joining. Mark, first thing I want to do is welcome you in. It is great, great, great to have you here. What a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you. I've never been called great before. I'm a little stunned.
Don't be, because I'm not playing here. Otis Redding, let's talk about Otis.
Yeah.
Otis has been, as the old country song goes, he's been a long time gone, but man, he is far from forgotten. But I've never seen him get the type of treatment that you gave him here in this work. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you. That's the entire reason for doing it in the first place. People like this have been written about many times through the years, but you'll find that a lot of these things are just sort of what would be called Wikipedia biographies today, you know, where, you know, this happened and that happened and that happened. That cheats a guy like Otis Redding, because his songs were never put together like, oh, well, let's see what'll sell to the public now. They came from deep inside his soul. They came from his relationship with his woman. They came from his cheating. It came from seeking respect, to use, of course, one of his most famous titles, that all black men were seeking back then in the 60s and was so hard to find. There's so many layers that you have to peel them all away, and that had never been done before, I don't think, and it's the reason I do all these books. These people have been written about ad infinitum, ad nauseum, but somebody like Otis Redding really requires a serious dissertation. And I hope I did him justice.
Oh, you definitely did him justice. You know, you go back to the time he was a young man, like a lot of these guys, they're given a gift, and yet they're trying to seek approval, and somewhere in there, there's a father that's just not giving it to him. And that chased Otis, didn't it?
Boy, it's so true, too. I mean, if I look back over all the musical geniuses I've written about, I mean, go back to Phil Spector, right, and Ronnie Van Zant and Lynyrd Skynyrd and people like that. There's always an Oedipal thing about it. You know, I just finished a book about the great Hank Williams. There's also an Oedipal thing there. I did a book about James Taylor that'll be out in the spring. There's an Oedipal thing there too. It's astonishing how many father figures turned out to be figures of abandonment and alienation and contributed to that inner mechanism that created genius in these people. So you're right. It's almost astonishing. It's almost atavistic. You know, it happens regardless of who the musical genius is. There's always that little glitch about acceptance from his own father. It's an amazing thing. It's an interesting dynamic.
In the case of Otis Redding, his father's a preacher. His father really doesn't get what he's doing, yet he sees that his son from an early age is gifted. Otis Redding is obviously different. He's operating on a different plane.
Well, the father, of course, is a church man, a preacher man, a deacon, and that kind of music in the 50s was so anathema to these guys who stood in the pulpit. There's also a fact of geography, too, which is often the case in the people I've written about, at least recently. It's almost all from the South. And there's always that church pulpit fact, that little phase of their youth, where they never quite adapted to what was being taught in church, but they took from church the music of the pulpit, of the pews, of the choirs. So his father was ambivalent about it, because Otis Jr. used to sing in Otis Sr.'s church choirs when he was a boy, and that was all right with the deacon, but only when he started branching out and going to the, you know, the red light districts of Macon, in the clubs to sing for a supper at 14, 15, did the old man really have a problem and figuratively booted him out of the house. Didn't literally do that, but figuratively sort of disowned him. And the two never really had that relationship that severed. They never put it back together again. Even though later on Otis gave Otis Sr. a job as sort of his de facto manager, which he really wasn't, they never really repaired that cleft. If you listen to the music, there's always that yearning for some sort of closure. He never got it with his father. And I think that's the kind of thing that drove him along.
I like Phil Walden's role in his development. And the fact that Phil Walden, you know what's incredible to me when I look back at the 60s, you think about some of these people that were in the places they were in. You think about a guy like Phil Walden, the guy's going to Mercer University. Little do we know, he's a kid from Macon, Georgia. Little do how could he have seen, I'm going to be involved.